traveled along upon this lonesome way. My burdens were heavy, and dark was my day. I looked for a friend, not knowing that he had all the time been looking for me. Now it is Jesus and me for each tomorrow, for every heartache and every sorrow. I know that I can depend upon my newfound friend, and so to the end, it's Jesus and me. The road may be long to heaven's pearly gate. I know that it's narrow, I know that it's straight, but Jesus is there through eternity. We'll travel along, just Jesus and me. Now it is Jesus and me for each tomorrow, for every heartache and every sorrow. I know that I can depend upon my newfound friend, and so to the end, it's Jesus and me. Forever I'll sing of his great love to me. Forever I'll tell it on land and on sea. I'll stay by his side, contented I'll be for all of my life. It's Jesus and me. Now it is Jesus and me for each tomorrow, for every heartache and every sorrow. I know that I can depend upon my newfound friend, and so to the end, it's Jesus and me.
Let me invite you this morning over to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7 reads this way. It says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come with expecting hearts. You've promised, Lord, where two or three are gathered together, there are you in the midst. And so, Lord, we know that we can worship you and know that you're in our very presence to guide us into your truths. Lord, we ask your blessing for the Holy Spirit to open up our hearts and minds to hear from you today. And Lord, that we might be able to say it's been good to be in your house. I pray that you would speak to each one that's here, meet each need, whatever that might be. Lord, that you might be glorified and our lives blessed. Help us, Lord, by your grace to be a holy vessel for your honor and glory, and to allow you to shine your light and your life in and through us. Bless, Lord, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message this morning is "The Greatest Treasure Found in Earthen Vessels." The greatest treasure found in earthen vessels. And I'm speaking about, or the Bible is talking about, you and I. That is the earthen vessel that God has bestowed his greatest treasure, and that is the life of eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ that he wants to reveal to the whole world. He's not trying to hide it. He wants to reveal it. Listen, God has not given some, but every believer, a life-changing treasure that God wants us to discover and use for his honor and glory and for our blessing. That's God's plan. We just need to understand that. And sometimes, listen, I'm afraid believers think, well, I've got eternal life. What more is there? Oh, listen, there's so much more that God wants to give for, and that he wants to guide us into if we'll just have it. Now, here's how it works. Let me ask you this question. The Word of God, is it a truth or the truth? Let me try that again. The Word of God, is it a truth or the truth? Has to be the truth, all right? It's not, you hear people today say, well, that's my truth, or that's my perception. If your perception is wrong, then it's a misperception, right? All right, so if the Word of God is the truth, question, is everything that contradicts it, what would that be called? A lie. It's a lie, right? So if the Word of God is the truth, then everything that contradicts the truth is a lie. Is it possible for the child of God to walk and believe a lie? It is. God says, hey, listen, I've never left you nor forsake you. Sometimes we might feel like God has forsaken us. At that point, we have the opportunity to use faith, and you can equate that to the word trust in God. In other words, Lord, I'm feeling one way, but your Bible, your word, which is the truth, tells me you've never left me nor forsaken me. So at that moment, we need to choose, in spite of how we feel, because the believer lives by what? Try that again. The believer lives by what? Faith. It's so we don't go by our feelings. Now listen, our feelings can be very real. But the Word of God is the power of God. And we must express and choose by faith to say, that is my foundation. That is where everything begins and ends with me. I'm going to adhere to the Word of God by the grace of God and call upon Him to help me to believe it, even sometimes, and God knows it, when we don't feel like it. Let me try that again. When we don't feel like it. Sometimes things enter in and we can go right down into the dumps. It's at that moment we have a grace opportunity as we walk with the Lord to say, Lord, help me not to believe those things or to be led by those things that are contrary to your word. That will help us. Listen, sometimes we think that, oh, listen, I'm a child of God and either I'm failing or we begin to think that we're distracted and why am I not having good success? It's because we have to be resolved to say, in spite of what I see, can your eyes deceive you? Absolutely. In spite of what I see, in spite of what I feel, I want you, Lord, to make your word the rule in my life. I want it to be my strong place. I want it to be the light of my life. And God wants that to be the case. But we have to, with a conscientious effort, choose and pursue it. Listen, does anything happen in your life? I want to be careful to say this right. Does anything happen in your life that you want to have happen in your life? Does it happen by accident? Oh, it just happened. It just happened. No, you have to pursue those things. If you want certain things to take place in your life and you want to make sure that they will happen, you have to on purpose set out to do those things. Is that not true? If you want the Word of God to bring you comfort and to be the rule of your life and your strong place, you have to on purpose set out to do that. And you don't have to manufacture it yourself. All you have to do is ask God to make it so in your life. Lord, I want to believe, and I want you to help my unbelief. There's no problem in that, right? All right, so this morning, I want to look at a couple of things here in the book of 2 Corinthians. I want you to see four thoughts. First of all, the life-changing gift of the love of God. That's salvation. We'll look at that here in just a moment. Then secondly, I want us to notice the life-changing work of God in us, the life-changing work of God in us. And then thirdly, a new sufficiency in stability, in God's stability. And then God's eternal treasure found in our earthen vessel. So go over with me, if you would, right there in the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 5, verse 14. I want you to see the life-changing gift of the love of God, and that's salvation. And you can say amen if this has happened to you and this excites you. This is part of worship. Listen, worship is not a spectator sport. Amen? It's a participation involvement. We want to participate. We can nod our heads. We can shout amen. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. Ready? Verse 14. For the love of God constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, or how they feel, or what they think, right? But unto him which died for them and rose again. Is that the Lord Jesus Christ? Amen? All right, verse 16. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, but notice, yet now henceforth know we him no more after the flesh, is what the implication is there. Before we got saved, we had the presentation of salvation that God would redeem us, that God would wipe away how many of our sins? That means the ones in the past, that means the ones in the present, and that means the ones in the future. Amen. That's why God can tell us, and Paul said, that he hath delivered me, he is delivering me, and he will yet deliver us. Right? Isn't that wonderful? My goodness, what a wonderful foundation that we can't fall from has been given to you and I by the grace of God. So notice verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, are the saved in Christ? All right, notice this. He is a what? New creature. There's something that's been made new in your life and mine. Notice what he says. Old things are passed away. Remember the old things? We put our fingers in our mouth and stuck it up in the air to see which way the wind was blowing to determine what kind of day we were going to have. No longer do we do that. Listen, from this point on, Christ is our life. We don't look to the exteriors of how our day is going to go. We look to the Word of God and what God has given to us to walk in, the truth. So he says this. He says, old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Not some things. He said all things. Now, here's the problem. Sometimes we don't feel that way. That's where we need to believe the Word of God. He says all things have become new. Is that what the Word of God is saying? All things have become new. Now, listen, that's the battle right there. What are we going to believe? Oh, I know we have eternal life and we can rest in that, and we should rest in that. And that was given to us. And isn't it amazing that we have no doubts concerning that? But how about the rest of the promises of God? Can we not rest in those as well? All right, so here they are. And then he says this. Verse 18. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us, those are believers, those are those who are in Christ, the ministry of reconciliation. He's given to us the ability to minister, to serve the lost, and share salvation with them. All right. Notice this. To wit, he says, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. He was not sitting there saying, okay, now I'm going to tell you what's condemning you. You know the lost person knows it. Didn't you know it before you got saved? Listen, I know God was a righteous God, and I knew that. No, I don't even know if anybody really taught me that. They told me God was holy. I just understood that. And they said, you're not holy. I got a surprise for you. It didn't even shock me. I believed it. I know. I know me, right? Everybody, correct me if I'm wrong, here's how we say it today. We've misspoke. I misspoke. No. You lied. You didn't misspeak. You lied. Everybody has told a lie. Now, that hopefully doesn't mean that we're habitual liars, but we're all guilty of lying. Oh, years ago, it was like an untruth. What? No, it's a lie. It's a lie. And so now I want you to see here that God gave us the life-changing gift of the love of God, which is salvation, Now God is wanting us to understand the life-changing work of God in us. Let me say that again. Listen, the life-changing work, God is doing a work in your life and mine. Now listen, some people, I've seen this t-shirt that says, God's still working on me. And that's true, but listen, that's not an excuse to walk in failure. It's not an excuse. We ought not to accept that. The only reason why we'll accept that is we've come to this resolve. Ready? I can't do it, so praise the Lord for His grace. Well, that's true. We can't do it, but that's not the reason to continue to walk in failure, because God's saying He's wanting to do the work. And so if we're failing, guess what's not happening? We're not allowing God, or we're not understanding that God is wanting to do a work in your life and mine. And so now we have this resolve. Lord, do I really believe that You're doing a work in me? Or do I believe I have to do it? Let that soak in a little bit, because our nature has the idea that if we're not doing it, nothing is going to happen. And if we be honest with ourselves, while we're doing, trying to do something for God, guess what? Nothing is going to be happening either. So if you've lived life and failed the Lord, look at it from this light that God is saying, if He does the work, it will be done right. If we do the work, it will fail every time. So notice this again, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. That's God's work. Old things are passed away. That's God's work. Behold, all things are become new. Who makes them new? Not us. God's doing that. And all things are of who? Oh, listen, let that soak in. All things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself. Who's done the reconciliation work? Do you see that? He's the one that's calling us and bringing us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. God is doing that. So you ought to expect success. And if it's not happening, all we have to do is ask God in faith, Lord, this is what Your word is telling me. I'm asking You to do that in my life. Do you think God would be pleased with that prayer? God, I'm wanting You to fulfill Your word and Your work in my life. All right. Ready? Verse 19, He says, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself. He's doing this work, not imputing their trespasses unto Him, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. So you and I have been made ministers, servants is what the word minister means, to bring people to the Lord Jesus Christ. And may I tell you something? When God is involved in it, it will be a wonderful experience, because you will see that God will give you what you need to say, and things will take place, and lives will be changed and encouraged. So notice verse 20. Now then, because of this work that God is doing, verse 20, we are ambassadors for Christ. That would be a good shirt. I am an ambassador for Christ. We might be a little slow to wear that kind of a shirt, because God ought to be doing a work in us to proclaim that. Notice this, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled or committed to God. Isn't that good? Your commitment in 2021 can be stronger, with a greater understanding, with truth revealed, than it was in 2020. Everybody's hoping for the better year this year. But we can not hope for it. We can know in the Lord Jesus Christ that we can be drawn closer to the Lord. We can walk nearer to God. We can experience more of the blessings of God. And that's not dependent upon which way the wind blows or the virus blows. It's not dependent on that. Not that that's not a real situation, but that's not the governing factor of the life of the believer. The Word of God is, or should be. All right? So as we consider this, look at verse 21. For He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we, that's the believer, might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Your life and my life might be made, notice, we might be made, the potential is there if we'll by faith believe it. It won't happen if the faith is not there, because it takes faith to please God. Faith in what? In what he has said. God, I'm holding you at your word. This is what you said. I'm asking you to do this in my life. That we might be the righteousness of God in him. So when you detect the unrighteousness in your life, bring it before him and say, God, you have promised I want to walk in that truth. And watch what God will do because he is true to his word. The only reason, I want to remind you of this, of why you are in this room today is because of the grace of God. Amen. Is why you're here today. Because if it wasn't for the grace of God, you'd have been wiped out a long time ago with some kind of a trial or some kind of a temptation. You'd have been wiped out concerning your faith in Christ if it wasn't for the grace of God a long time ago. So you are all here, me too, because of the grace of God. So now what do I want to believe in? Shall we not walk in the grace of God that our faith might be strengthened? That's God's will. It's what he wants to do. That is the life-changing work of God in us. Now, you're right here in 2 Corinthians. I want you to back up to chapter 3. And I want you to see our new sufficient stability. Now, you know, the word sufficient in the Greek and English means it's enough and adequate. It is enough. You had enough and adequate to perform a specific function. It was adequate. It was enough. So I want you to see our new sufficient stability that we did not have before salvation. 2 Corinthians, remember we're all ministers of the reconciliation of God. And look at verse 3. We find here in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 3, it says, "For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, you are the letter of Christ that people can read. Your life is to be read concerning the change, the work that God is doing in your life and my life. That is the witness to the world." Listen, don't misunderstand me. We are to verbally witness to lost souls. But listen, what kind of a witness would I be if I was mad all the time and if I cussed all the time and if I didn't look any different than they did and yet I'm going to tell them about the grace of God in me? Are they going to hold their nose and maybe say, "My friend, you stink"? Or are they going to look at you and say, what does the lost world say? Their favorite word, hypocrite. And we would be. We would be a contradiction to the life that we profess that God has given to us. So if you're a saved child of God that have been given the new life in Christ, why settle for the beggarly things of this world of failure? Why settle for that? Because we're not looking to God who has promised to do the work in us. We're looking to ourselves. That's why we will fail every time. And so notice again, verse 3, "For as much as you are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink," notice, "but with the Spirit of the living God." That is how we become the living letter of God. Not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. It must move our heart. You ever seen, listen. Well, I remember seeing some football players that when you looked at them, you'd say, well, they're not a good football player. They don't meet the criteria. They're not very big. They don't look very powerful. But boy, oh boy, could they play. And you know what coaches would say? Boy, they got a lot of what? Heart. They got a lot of heart for that. You know what they were saying? They've got a passion that overcame their physical deficiencies because they had a lot of heart. Question: how about the believer? Do we not have a lot of cause to have a heart for God? That's important. So, he says, these things have been written on the tables of our heart. And maybe the dust has covered it up, and maybe it just needs stirred up a little bit. Look at the Word of God and ask him to help you to believe his truth and not how you feel. And not in what the world is saying or doing. Now notice verse 4. And such trust have we through Christ to Godward. Did you see that? Listen, this is the new sufficient stability that God has given to us. And such trust, because God has written that on our hearts. Such trust have we through Christ to Godward. Then look at verse 5 here. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves. Isn't that important? We're not. We know we're not sufficient. So listen, why do we get so disappointed when we try to serve the Lord in our strength and fail? The recipe's wrong. It's all wrong. It's like putting mustard in chocolate chip cookies and Tabasco sauce. Does that sound tempting in any way at all? Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of... Did you see that? Who? That is our sufficient, enough, adequate stability. God. Amen? God. Notice this, verse 6. Who also hath made us... Did you see that? Who is doing the work? Who also... Paul. We be of Paul. Remember that? The Corinthians had trouble with this. Oh, we're of Peter. We're of the eloquent Apollos. Oh, wait a minute. We're really special. We're just of Christ. And God is saying here, who hath made us able ministers of the New Testament. God is the one that does the work. Notice, not of the letter, but of the what? For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. If we're just going to do things because, by golly, we're just going to serve the Lord in our own strength because that's the right thing to do, you're running out in front of the Lord. And God will not share His glory even with you as much as He loves you. He'll give it to you that you might glorify Him, that you might say, only You, God. Only You. You change my life. Lord, it's Your work in me. It gives us reason to praise and to worship and to give thanks. Isn't that good? Listen, God wants us to be thankful once a year. That's it. No more. Just once a year, give thanks. That's it. Don't overdo it with God. Do you think He'd like for you to give thanks once a month? Do you think He'd like for you to give thanks at least once a day? How about throughout the day? And He does not want you to manufacture it. He wants to give you reason to praise and glorify Him. Don't manufacture it. Ask God to do it. God, You do this work in me that will cause me to worship You. That's what He wants to do. As you read the Word of God, God wants to point you toward Him, not ourselves. All right, now, you know, get busy. And I hope you fare well. God's not left us nor forsaken us to do it on our own. So He wants us to understand our new sufficiency in Him. And it gives us stability. It's not in ourselves. It's in Him. Now, lastly, I want you to take a few moments here and look at God's eternal treasure found in our earthen vessels. Now, listen, we have to understand the life-changing gift of the love of God through salvation. That's where it begins. Then we have to understand that God is doing a life-changing work in your life and mine. And then we have to understand that with that work, He's given us a stability. It's your work. I don't have to worry about it. If you had to face the enemy, I've never been in a war, never been in a battle, but let's just say you had to face in the woods, in the dark, you had to face an enemy of 1,000 soldiers, and you were out there in the dark. But then you realized that you have 10,000 soldiers on your side. But not just that. You have all the artillery and all the air support that you don't even have to go over to the enemy. And wait a minute. The King of Kings, who directs the way things work, is right at your side. Would you have a little more confidence in walking out to battle? May I remind you that He is right beside you? In fact, He's in you. We forget that, don't we? Because we start walking by our eyes and how we feel instead of to what the Word... Listen, we start walking in the lie. Remember? Everything that is a contradiction to the truth is a lie. I don't know how we justify it or how we excuse it. And are we too wise in our own thinking to not believe every word of God? Because that's what the lost world, so-called scientists without God, have come to the conclusion that there is no God and that that's beneath their education. It was the Bible that told us in the book of Isaiah, talking about the circumference of the world while science was saying, before Columbus, the world was flat. True believers already knew that because of the guidance of the Word of God. We have to decide if we're going to believe what the world is saying, what we think, how we feel, or what we see over the Word of God. That will limit our walk with the Lord. Still a child of God, but we will miss out on the victory God wants to bring into your life and mine. So very quickly, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, notice what it says here. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Isn't that good? God, listen, that's the truth. God is, if you're going to have any power in your earthen vessel, the excellent power of God, it has to be of Him and not of you and I. God won't share it. Notice what He says here. Look at what He's saying. He's telling us what He is seeing, what He's experiencing, what He's feeling. Paul's saying, we are troubled on every side, and they were, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body, the physical body, the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. He was looking past the physical anguish and able to see by the grace of God the power of God in his life. And it was being manifested. It was being an open testimony to the believers and to the lost world. They're saying, man, whatever you might want to say about Paul, he really believes in his God. Verse 11, for we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then, death worketh in us, but life in you. We have the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, and therefore I have spoken. Did you see that? We've got to believe the word of God, or we won't speak, and our lives won't speak. We also believe and therefore speak. Verse 14, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise us up also by Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. This is what the Lord wants to do. For which cause, because of this work that God is doing, because of this testimony, because of this grace, because of this treasure, for which cause we faint not, though our outward man perisheth, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. That's the new man that indwells the believer, the Spirit of God. He's quickened that. So what's Paul saying? What are you going to choose to believe? The Word of God or how you feel? If Paul would have looked to how he felt or what was happening to him to be his guide, we wouldn't be talking about him today. But he chose to believe what God had given him. And many times you find Paul saying what he's given us. Question this morning. For 2021, what are you going to choose to believe? What are you going to choose to believe? It's so easy to be disappointed by what we hear. Is it not? It's so easy to be discouraged by what somebody might say. But if you want to find encouragement, put your 100% confidence in the Word of God. Because it never changes. And it will always be the same. And it will remain, not just in this life, but it's eternal, throughout eternity. So he says in verse 17, he says, for our light affliction. Did you see how Paul called it? Remember Paul? He was left for dead. He was beaten. He got hungry for the cause of Christ. And he called it a light affliction. How could he do that? Well, that was the Apostle Paul. That's not what he would tell you. Is it? Would he tell you, boy, I am what I am because, boy, I'm good. Is that what Paul would tell you? He would tell you that he is what he is because of the grace of God. For our light affliction is but for a moment. God can only give him that perspective. Worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. He says, this light affliction is for my good. God has to be the one to reveal that. We won't believe that by ourselves. You know what we do when we're in the frying pan? You know what we want to do. We just want out and right into the fire. We'll take care of this. Whoops. That didn't work out so well. I wonder if we'd be honest with ourselves how many whoops we've had. Amen? And we look back and say, boy, I shouldn't have done that. That was a little bit too hasty. Verse 18. While we look not at the things which are seen. Listen. Paul is giving, it's not a secret, but the recipe for success. Did you see what he just said there? While we look not on the things which are seen. It do us good to do less, to do with less of the news that this world is shelling out right now. And should we be running around frantic? Should we be in dismay with what people are saying? Or should we have the confidence that we're in whose hands? While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And one day we're going to look back and see how real and permanent the eternal things, and how temporary and temporal were the things that were passing away. And by the grace of God, may we say, oh God, listen, help me to see the things that are eternal. Empower my life, Lord, that you might be glorified. Lord, guide me that I might walk in your strength. And as you do that, may I praise and worship you. God wants to give you and I a reason to pray, not just because we're supposed to. God wants to give you and I a reason to praise. And again, not just because we're supposed to. Because he wants to show us great and mighty things which we don't even know about. Unless we think we know it all, that'd be a sad way to walk. Because our God is infinite. And his word has many truths to be revealed in your life and mine, if we'll have it. It's already given. As a saved child of God, you are a joint heir with the Lord Jesus Christ and have been given all the promises of God. Do you want to discover what's already been given concerning the greatest treasure that has been given to you and I in earthen vessels, and that is the salvation of God? Not just eternal life, and believe me, I'm not undermining that. That's where it all starts. But every day, eternal life, if we'll have it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne. And Lord, we thank you so much for the reminder of what you've given to every believer in earthen vessels, and that is the hope of glory and a powerful testimony that comes from you and a changed life and a work that you desire to do if we'll just call upon you and look to you and ask you to do it. Meet each need here this morning. Lord, if there's anyone that knows you not as Savior, may this be the day that they realize that they cannot go without you. Lord, that they stand condemned already, not because of what they're doing, but because of our nature. We're condemned already. But your righteousness, that Lord, when you died on the cross and shed your blood, has given to us eternal life for the receiving. Bless the invitation, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.